Garrett Wilson, absolute stud. Mm. Okay. But I look at the rest of the roster here, Matt. A lot of question marks, right? You add Mike Williams this offseason. He's going to be 30 years old, coming off of an ACL tear. This is a player who already has an extensive injury history. All right, they add Malachi Corley in the third round to be essentially their slot player. 85% success rate versus, you know, zone coverage here, or what did I miss here? But he is exclusively a slot player. Wasn't, in my personal opinion, I didn't think he was very great in contested catch, but he is great after the catch, as his nickname would indicate, as the Yak King. But that's your three guys. And one of those guys is going to be real iffy in terms of Mike Williams. There's just not a lot of depth, in New York right now for the Jets.
Yeah, there's a lot of like kind of names you can throw around. Alan Lazard is still on this team. You know, he was a healthy scratch at times last year.
Yep.
Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is back this year. Is he going to just be able to demand that? I wanted you guys to sign Alan Lazard. Like, we're playing Alan Lazard for snaps on this team. I do think that's possible. I also don't think that Lazard is like a god awful receiver. I think he's like a very mid, you know, number three type, right? Which, again, when we're starting to do this stuff, this is what makes it so important that Mike Williams like works out and is healthy for this team. Because with Mike Williams there and Garrett Wilson, like let's call it a 90% Mike Williams, like a guy that's not at his peak, but 90% of what he was.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a pretty decent two receiver set, you know. And Mike Williams is a classic X.
Totally agree.
He's never been that sort of. I don't think he's ever gotten into like my superstar receiver, but kind of like maybe not even a true number one. I don't think necessarily, but a very good starting X receiver. That works off well, you know, with Keenan Allen, of course, in Los Angeles. And I think it can work off really well with Garrett Wilson, who doesn't need to be utilized from the slot, doesn't need to be a flanker. Like, the man press success rates for Garrett Wilson are outrageous. You know, he's the type of profile you mentioned for the barometers that we look for. Like, he checks all of those boxes and more. I mean, Garrett Wilson is the most obvious guy that could break into the elite tier this year, and I don't think anybody would be surprised. 96 percentile success rate versus man, 93rd percentile success rate versus press. Woo! 82nd or 82% against zone. Like, check, that looks like an elite receiver when viewed in isolation. Like, let's see if he can get there from a production standpoint this year, but it's all set up for him, and I think he can be more maximized by getting some slot receiver work, by doing some stuff as a flanker. They kind of started to do that more and more as the year went on. You look at the routes that they had Garrett Wilson run. Like, he ran route percentage chart, 18.6% nine routes, 8% corner routes, 10.3% out routes. Those are all above the NFL average. I think we can cut those down and have him run like more digs, have him run more posts, have him run more curl routes. That's going to come with more of a slot receiver, flanker receiver route tree. And then you've got Mike Williams running corners and nines and outs and stuff like that. But, man, I mean, again, we're talking about Mike Williams at this point in his career, coming off an ACL, extensive injury history. So, yeah, if again, this is what we're doing with these division previews. If Mike Williams, a 90% version of Mike Williams, is healthy and plays 17 games for the Jets, I love that signing and I love what it does for Garrett Wilson and some of these other receivers. But how likely is it that we get a 90% Mike Williams for 17 games for the New York Jets?
Nope.
Well, and by the way, they're hoping for like 20-something games because they want to make a playoff run. So how likely is any of that?
No, not very good at all. Again, he's 30. He's 30 years old, coming off of an ACL and extensive injury history for Mike Williams, right? Whether we're talking about, I mean, first of all, can we get this guy a coach just to learn how to fall? No one has a more violent fall than Mike Williams at the catch point. Like, I love the fact that he's willing to climb the ladder and just go get that ball every single time. But damn, dude. I mean, it looks like a WWE collision. It looks like tables, ladders, and chairs. I mean, it is a violent crash to the ground every single time for Mike Williams. But look, I look at this roster, Matt, and there's a lot of teams that say I look at and say, oh man, they just don't got a lot of X receivers. And it's very rare where I can look at a roster and say they don't have a lot of flanker receivers. Mm-hmm. But this team really doesn't have a lot of flanker receivers. I think Mike Williams is great for that role. Playing off the line would be great, wonderful. Again, but if he goes down, gets hurt, which I think is a very likely scenario, again, Alan Lazard, dude, bro, where is he at mentally? I mean, this is a guy that, again, healthy scratch. He's 29 years old. Just listening to him talk off the football field, I don't see a guy that's locked in and is like, yeah, I got to go play football. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, again, I'm totally projecting here. But again, just the fact that he was a healthy scratch, that tells me a lot about where Alan Lazard was at mentally, right? I really like this kid, Xavier Gibson, but he's a slot-only player, right? His playing time, I think, is being blocked severely by Malachi Corley. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Malachi Corley is a slot-only player too.
Oh, yeah. Malachi Corley is definitely a slot-only player. And, you know, that's what's so interesting, right, about the Malachi Corley thing, because I think Malachi Corley is an interesting prospect. Some people liked him more than me, but when you look at his reception perception profile, and he's in the rookie roundup, sort of these mini samples of guys, you know, he's I mean, the amount of slants and screens he ran, 36.4% slant routes, 16.2% screen routes, decent bit of usage on like digs and outs, but for the most part, I mean, that is a lot of short and underneath work. But success rate versus man, 66%. That's actually, it's solid, but it's not good, but it's fine. I'll say that.
Right.
The zone success rate, 84.8%, is actually really good. So
yeah, that's
really, I think, good. He projects well to being a slot gadget type of receiver. I think you're going to want to get him work underneath. You're going to want to set him up for tackle breaking potential. Totally. But not a contested catch receiver. He had a lot of drops in the sample that I tried. He only saw press coverage on literally 1% of his sampled routes because he was in such an interesting role off the line, everything like that. 99.3% of his snaps off the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, he is a slot only, if not slot mostly, type of receiver. And you kind of have a guy in Breece Hall as a running back that you already want to design some passing game opportunities
for sure.
I don't think he's just a check down type running back. I think you want to, people forget this, but in his rookie season, I talked about this a lot on the Yahoo Fantasy show back when this was going on, like his rookie season average depth of target number was like over 2, which I know doesn't sound like much, but when we're talking about running backs,
Usually negative.
Yeah, they're negative. Air yards per target is negative. Right. It's like just maybe slightly over 0. To be like 2.5, near 3, that puts you in that kind of like David Johnson territory, which is, he was a great receiving back in the day. So you've already got a running back that you kind of want to design those opportunities for. Now you've got this guy in Malachi Corley who I think needs design touches. That's a lot to put on the plate of, you know, Nathaniel Hackett and all that. So Todd Downing, he's another guy that's going to be involved in the game planning of the offense. Not a great resume in terms of Todd Downing. So how much can those guys handle there? Alan Lazard, you mentioned it when just looking back at his 2022 profile. What a thing that I did. Off the line of scrimmage for 58% of his sampled snaps. He was only in the slot for 35%. And even still, 8th percentile success rate versus man, 10th percentile success rate versus zone, 8th percentile success rate versus press. So, he probably is a flanker, and even then, he's just not a separator at all. He's like a tight coverage, ball-winning type receiver, and that's like what Aaron Rodgers wants to do, okay, but still, we're just talking about if Mike Williams goes down, my imagination then goes to, all right, they're bumping Garrett Wilson into the X receiver position that Mike Williams is probably playing in, which... Mm-hmm. Diminishing returns there for Garrett Wilson now. You're going to be easier to take away in that role. And then you're bumping Lazard up to flanker, and then you're still got Corley as the gadget guy. So, yeah, it really is like kind of a house of cards here with Mike Williams' health, which I think if it works out, that's great. But if it doesn't, yeah, we're talking about back to the same Jets from last year. With Corley added in, and again, it's kind of a tough role to talk about.
I mean, the fact that the Jets are gambling on Mike Williams's health. That's not good planning, dude. That is not good planning. They do have a kid by Jason Brownlee. I think he was a featured play on Hard Knocks as well. But he's a guy. You know, I think he showed some signs of life last year. But he's a guy to me, right? So it's just I'm surprised they stopped after they took Mike Williams and Malachi Corley. You know, again, I just made fun of Buffalo for signing all these, you know, cast-off dudes. I mean, good Lord, the Jets might want to go sign a cast-off guy. Somebody, anybody. Because I just don't see very much depth on this team to fill in behind Mike Williams. You know, again, if Alan Lazard's that guy, that's a problem, bro. That is a problem. So I'm a little bit worried. There's some serious fragility issues, I think, for the Jets right now. But if they get them all right, if you get them all right in week one, Matt, that three receiver set of Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, and Malachi Corley, I'm not going to lie, that's actually pretty nice.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty nice. And what I really like about it, too, is the fact that Garrett Wilson, great after the catch. Malachi Corley, great after the catch. You talk about why you were a little bit lower than some other folks. He's got a lot. But just go to YouTube, turn on some Malachi Corley highlights. Right. This dude's got some serious highlights. He is a fun watch. It's just, can he get open? You know, can he do what he is doing in college at the pros? Yak yardage is really tough to come by in the NFL. Some guys are great at it. Some guys are not, man. But it's really tough to get by. But yeah, very fun watch. A lot of fun highlights from Malachi Corley, man. But that just week one, Matt, that three receiver set looks actually pretty good.
Yeah, maybe it'll look good by week four when Mike Williams is probably actually healthy, right? Because he did tear his ACL a little early on in the season last year. I think he only made it three games.
I think it was week three, right?
Yeah, three games, I believe. So, yeah, it's just – and the key to all this, and I think the optimistic note for Jets fans, is we just need Williams and Corley and these guys to be, like, complementary players. Because
– right, correct.
And, you know, look at the Cowboys last year. The Cowboys had – you know, I don't know when we're going to preview the NFC East, but, like, spoiler alert, with their team last year, they had one true elite receiver, CeeDee Lamb, the center of their universe. And those guys messed around for, like, 4 weeks of the season. It took getting the shit beat out of them by the Niners to suddenly kind of realize, like, you know what?
You know, let's get this guy the ball.
Let's run the whole offense through CeeDee Lamb and exactly, kind of see how that goes. And then they started doing it. Like, let's play him at all three receiver positions. Let's make him the X receiver in certain concepts because there's no reason for him to just play in the slot. He can play X. He can be press man coverage. And then he's going to be the number one read in the concept. Like, let's make that happen. And that's the season they got out of CeeDee Lamb. That is certainly the season you get out of Garrett Wilson. And, like, the other guys in Dallas, it was like Michael Gallup coming off like a – just never the same after his injuries. Jalen Tolbert is kind of like, he's a role player at best as their outside receiver. And Brandon Cook's giving them like a, I think, fine season, like an okay season as the number two. But it just all revolved around one guy. That's kind of what we're asking of Mike Williams, Malachi Corley, and maybe even Alan Lazard. Like, just be viable NFL players, be healthy and be on the field, and just like kind of – help lift up this one guy, because this one guy in Garrett Wilson is good enough to build the entire offense around.
Garrett Wilson projections for me, I've got him incredibly high. So, again, a lot of this is predicated on Aaron Rodgers' health, but projections for me, 1337 as a medium projection. I do have him projected on the high end of 1700 yards, which I think he can get there if everything falls right. Touchdown high side projection of 12.3. Right. So just that's the level of production I think we could see from Garrett Wilson. And by the way, like a 1500 yard season, I think would be totally acceptable. Not even acceptable. I'm saying, like, if he got 1500 yards this year, I don't think anyone would be surprised.
Yeah.
Right. But just think about how much more that is than what he put together in 2023 when he had about 1050 yards. Right. So we're tacking on another 500. And no one would be surprised. That's the talent level, I think, that we're talking about here for Garrett Wilson. Just straight upside play, man. Like, there's not too many players in the NFL that I think have a higher upside, higher ceiling than Garrett Wilson right now. As a matter of fact, I look at the 2,000-yard upside list. It's only CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, and Justin Jefferson. That's it from me in regards to high side projections. But Garrett Wilson's knocking on that door. You know, it's Amon-Ra St. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, Garrett Wilson, A.J. Brown. They're right there. They're all right there. Oh, actually, Nico Collins is right there, too. So there you go. Baby. So yeah, man, that's that. That's the hopes and dreams for Garrett Wilson fantasy managers, that's for sure, and Jets fans, I think, in general too. So